This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we've got Baker Mayfield going to the Carolina Panthers. The trade that happened yesterday. And it's a trade that we've been kind of waiting on, only because, just to see out of curiosity, it wasn't going to shake up the league. It certainly wasn't going to move the needle and make a contender a Super Bowl champion. This was not that kind of mega trade. This was just a trade of convenience. This was just a trade for those of us who've been waiting for training camp to start to get a little football in the news and to get evaluating on where the Panthers are now, for example, and now what will the Cleveland Browns do without Baker Mayfield to back up Deshaun Watson when Watson is suspended. They're going to go with Jacoby Brissett. But for Carolina, this is very, very interesting, and Josh Klein is going to join us, Riot Report. We're going to talk to him about the Panthers and what do they do with Baker Mayfield. Is there a legitimate chance he starts? Well, yeah, he's going to be battling for the starting job, but the Darnold trade that they made with the Jets is more costly to them than this was with Cleveland. Nevertheless, Matt Rhule has got a perfect scenario. He's not going to make a decision based on who is more important to the organization based on value and cost and anything like that. He's got two guys that came into this league at the same time, one picked number one overall, one picked third, and he's going to have them battle it out for the starting job. Now, what happens to the one that doesn't make it? Well, I think in Baker's case, he got acquired with backup money, basically a 2024 pick and some, you know, only costing him about $4 million. But for Darnold, he becomes available on the trade market. Maybe there's a team out there that is looking for a quality backup and maybe we'll make a move with the Carolina Panthers. Well, we'll explore that with Josh Klein coming up in just a couple of minutes. And then we'll also get into some more deep analysis on what the rest of the league is going to do. Is Seattle, for example, now going to roll with the punches that could come from Drew Lock and Geno Smith? You know, San Francisco's not trading Jimmy Garoppolo to a team within the division. So that's not likely to happen, if at all. But nevertheless, is Seattle okay with that scenario? All right, well, coming up next, we're going to talk Carolina Panthers football. Josh Klein will join us next from Charlotte on exactly how this deal went down and what does it mean for Matt Rhule and Carolina. It's next. Tony D, Ron Culver, as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on a Throwback Thursday.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This is one of those songs that I feel like is way older than just 6 years ago. I feel like I've been hearing this song for years and years. Like, if you had told me 2011, I probably would have believed it. 2016 is Throwback Thursday. On this date, Kevin Durant said, "Hey, I'm going to Golden State. Might as well join a winner. Say, I ain't going all with Oklahoma City. If you can't beat them, join them." And we couldn't beat them. So he joined them. And they did win two finals. And he did win two MVPs in the finals. But he changed the legacy image that he had. Great player. One of the best all time. But he went from a guy that was very likable to villain in a very short decision by going to the Golden State Warriors. So we honored that. There was a number of one that we could pick. One of them that we almost had. And again, we were kind of tossing some of these back and forth. Like we always do every single week. There was 1977, going a little pop culture, James Bond, Spy Who Loved Me, and then also 2001, where Dale Earnhardt Jr. won at Daytona months after his father had crashed and died at the 500 back earlier in February. But the big story yesterday was Baker Mayfield getting traded to the Carolina Panthers. So let's get the Carolina side of this deal from Josh Klein, joins us from Riot Report, as we take a look at this deal from, again, the Carolina Panthers' perspective. How are you, Josh? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me, man.
And Josh is on our progressive guest line. All right, so this seems like a good deal for the Panthers. They didn't have to give up much to get them, but what does this do for their quarterback depth chart? What do they have as they go into camp in a couple weeks?
Well, I mean, they did a lot of work on the rest of the roster over the course of the offseason. Obviously, they added a big left tackle with the number six pick in Ikem Ekwonu. They upgraded their offensive line at other spots, which was a huge problem for them last year. They re-signed DJ Moore. You know, obviously, if Christian McCaffrey can play 17 games, that'll be a huge boon for this offense. They added some names on defense as well. So this is a young team that's getting better. And kind of the biggest issue that they had on the roster was at that quarterback spot. So obviously they felt like they wanted to address it. They made a move for the future, at least they say they did, by trading up in the third round for Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral. And when you add a guy like Baker Mayfield, you know, this is a proven veteran quarterback that proves that he can get it done on the field. And Sam Darnold was, you know, not to pull any punches, Sam Darnold was really, 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 really bad last year. For the time that he was here. Cam Newton added some fun and excitement to the offense and certainly to the fan base, but wasn't that much better. And so, you know, if you can get an average season, Matt Rhule and the rest of this coaching staff are hoping that he can play well enough to save Matt Rhule's job, because Matt Rhule is firmly on the hot seat after 2 5-win seasons. And he needed somebody that could win not only now this season, but early in the season in order to keep his job.
Carolina had always been in the mix here. Every discussion that people had about Baker Mayfield in a landing spot always centered around the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, there were Seattle and a couple of other teams with some feelings, but mostly it was centered on Carolina. How badly did they want to get this deal done?
Yeah, I mean, everybody that I would ever talk to since April has been saying that it's a question of when, not if, for Baker Mayfield coming to Carolina, and they managed to get it done. Combination, kind of a sliding scale of picks versus money that the Browns wanted, and the Panthers wanted the Browns to pay some of Baker's salary. Baker ended up paying giving back $3.5 million of that salary himself, so that he could get this deal done after talking to Matt Rhule and Scott Fitterer last week. Or earlier this week, to kind of figure out what it might look like for him to rejuvenate his career here in Carolina and really be on a prove-it contract. I mean, he only has 1 year left on his deal. If he goes out there and is able to lead the Panthers to, you know, 9, 8, 10 wins and take them to the playoffs, he's going to be in line for a huge deal because he's still young. So, you know, on its surface, when you look at this deal in a vacuum, trading a conditional fifth-round pick that will almost certainly translate into a fourth-round pick, barring injury, for a guy like Baker Mayfield, for a starting quarterback in the NFL, a top 15, top 12 quarterback in the NFL, depending on how you want to rate him, probably top 15, that's a good deal in a vacuum. Now, when you zoom out a little bit and realize that this is the third quarterback in 3 years for the Carolina Panthers that they've made a move to go and get and then moved on from the next offseason, maybe it looks like, you know, things are a little bit more complicated, but on its surface, the Baker Mayfield trade certainly seems like a good transaction for the Panthers.
Was it surprising the cost of this? This was a 2024 fourth or fifth round pick. Again, a lot of the money is not being paid by Carolina on this deal. Look, we've seen deals go for a lot for quarterbacks. The Darnold deal was more expensive for Carolina than this one. Was that a surprise?
I don't think it was a surprise. I think, you know, I think there was a lot of voices around the NFL that said, you know, the Browns made their bed here by basically disowning themselves from Baker Mayfield, who was number one pick last year. Make them release him. Like, yeah, Don't bail them out by trading them anything. And the Panthers ultimately didn't want to wait for that to happen and have Baker get to make a decision where he could go anywhere in the NFL. They needed another quarterback to compete, and I'm putting quotes around compete because they keep saying that Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield will be competing in training camp, and I'm sure they will. And I mean, Baker Mayfield's going to win that competition. So I think the price was not too surprising. I wouldn't have been surprised if it ended up being a seventh-round pick. I think if the Browns had been willing to pay another couple million dollars, it may have been a seventh-round pick versus a fifth-round pick.
Oh, Josh Klein joining us, Riot Report on Carolina Panthers, again, acquiring Baker Mayfield. Let's go back to what you were talking about earlier. Just give us like a perspective of where this team has been in the quarterback carousel, if you will. From Teddy Bridgewater to Darnold to bringing back Cam Newton, starting with Cam Newton, and then now going with Sam, you know, back to Sam, you know, Darnold, now Baker Mayfield. they haven't been able to land it. The quarterback situation over the last couple of years, how has that kind of affected the team and their success? When you have a guy like Christian McCaffrey that can win you some games, they haven't been able to land the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the indecision and the poor decisions at quarterback have made this team what they are, and will ultimately, or, you know, whether it's going to happen or not, have ultimately doomed Matt Rhule for the first 2 years. That inability to stick with one quarterback and to continually reset at the quarterback position, something that works in college, which was obviously where Matt Rhule was from, but in the NFL, when Matt Rhule was first hired, Cam Newton, obviously stalwart quarterback, had faced a bunch of injuries. They realized that he was not going to be healthy enough to provide that stability at the quarterback position. They move on from Cam Newton. They bring in Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater plays exactly like Teddy Bridgewater has played for his entire career, like an NFL average quarterback. They say that's not good enough at the end of the season. So they trade three picks for Sam Darnold, which in hindsight was a terrible decision that is going to likely cost somebody their job in the future. And they trade Teddy Bridgewater basically for a sixth round pick. They pay most of his salary. They bring in Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is fine for three games and then does Sam Darnold things, makes bad decisions, throws interceptions. They bring back Cam Newton for the final eight games of the season. They end up benching Cam Newton for a returning Sam Darnold. And then this offseason, they tried their darndest to get Deshaun Watson for the second offseason in a row, were rejected by Deshaun Watson, then said, okay, well, who's the next available quarterback that we can bring in? It's Baker Mayfield. Not to mention, last offseason, they got rejected by Matt Stafford. So they have been pining and begging for another quarterback to come in here, because ultimately they realize that they need an elite quarterback to succeed. They just keep striking out on the elite quarterbacks, and they keep bringing in the second tier and then moving on from them after a year. So they just keep investing more and more and more assets into the quarterback position with really nothing to show for it. Right now, the quarterbacks in their room are Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, P.J. Walker, and Matt Corral, and they have traded a second, third, two fourths, a fifth, and a sixth for that quarterback room.
Wow. We were discussing this earlier, and, you know, again, we get it that at the beginning of the season, when you try to make predictions, there's always teams that will surprise you, and then there'll be teams that will disappoint you. Some teams come out of nowhere. But in the end, is this team a playoff team that needs a quarterback that's good? Do they need a quarterback to be a superstar to be a playoff team? What's around the quarterback? And is it enough that if you get just good, solid play, could they make the playoffs?
I said this 2 days ago, and I am not sure that anything has changed. If the Panthers if their young defense can make a bit of a jump and stay healthy, and Christian McCaffrey can play 15 games, this team can certainly make a play for the playoffs. And that doesn't change whether it's Sam Darnold under center or Baker Mayfield. They need Christian McCaffrey to play almost the entire season and stay healthy for this team to be successful. He is the hinge that this season rotates around, not Baker Mayfield, not Sam Darnold. It is Christian McCaffrey. They're paying him $23 million this year. And he is the crux of this offense. Ben McAdoo is building his entire offense around Christian McCaffrey because, let's face it, when healthy, Christian is the best running back in the league, in my opinion. And he just hasn't been healthy the past 2 years. So they need him to be healthy. You cannot have the best player and the most important player on your entire team miss 11 games and go to the playoffs. So that's the key to their season, not necessarily this Baker Mayfield trade that is going to get all of the attention, especially week one when Cleveland comes to town.
Absolutely. Josh Klein, again, a Riot Report on the Carolina Panthers out of Charlotte. Really appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope to catch you during our previews coming up next month.
Absolutely. All right,
thank you.
Thanks
so much, man. Appreciate it. You can find him on Twitter at Josh Klein Rules, which is pretty awesome. That's a pretty awesome Twitter handle. Better than Tony D Radio, which is boring. All right, that's his thoughts on the Carolina Panthers. Really interesting because, again, we all do predictions, right? We all think we have an idea of how the season should go for everybody. We know in the end there'll be teams that'll come out of nowhere and have a great season. We didn't think Arizona would get off to the amazing start that they did, where they were one of the best teams in the NFL with their record. record at the beginning of the year. And it lasted all the way through to the middle of the year before things started going sideways. So we always know that there's surprise teams and there are teams that will disappoint and whatnot. But as we were saying earlier, if you were to just take the top of the divisions in the NFC, if you take the expected division winners, right, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Green Bay, and then probably the LA Rams, if you take them out and then you're left with Arizona, San Francisco, possibly Philadelphia, possibly New Orleans, why can't the Carolina Panthers be in that 5-6 team mix for three playoff spots? Like, I don't think maybe the Bears have a better season. I doubt it. I don't know. I think they're probably 500. Detroit's still rebuilding. I'm not going to buy into Minnesota again like we seem to always do every single year. And then the Eagles, all right, I'll throw them in there. They're expected to be a lot better. They were a playoff team last year. All right, okay. But the reality of it is he's correct. If Christian McCaffrey's healthy, you don't need Baker Mayfield to play like Josh Allen. Right, you don't. If Baker Mayfield is playing like Baker Mayfield did in 2020, the latter half of 2020, and McCaffrey's healthy for 17 games, that's a playoff team. That's a playoff offense. No, not a Super Bowl team. No, not a team that is going to go 13-4 or 14-3. No. But if you're looking at 10 wins, get me to that spot. 9-10 wins, and let's see how it shakes out for a wild card. A healthy Christian McCaffrey and a solid year from Baker Mayfield. Nothing crazy, nothing awesome, but nothing ridiculously bad. They're a playoff team.
And you know what I found alarming too is like, I mean, because obviously he's a Panthers fan,
right?
But he's not even. It didn't even cross his mind that Christian McCaffrey can play a whole season.
Yeah, right.
He was like, man, if we could just get 14, 15 games out of
him. Without question. Yeah, he's 100% right.
17? That's unrealistic.
17, forget it. Let's throw that out of the window.
Now, ain't going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a deal. But yeah. But again, if they were in the AFC, I'd be like, man, that's a mountain to climb, man, because there's a whole bunch of good teams in the AFC right now. But in the NFC, there's four really good ones that win the division, and then everybody else is kind of hovering. Yeah, the 49ers should maybe have a pretty good season, but that's one of the, and you still got two other wild card teams left. No, I don't see this being a franchise changing move. No, there's no question about that. But I also don't see it as, well, you know, but I also, you know, I don't see it as that, but I also don't see it. I mean, I rephrase it. I kind of see it as could be better, could be a little better. And if they might, again, if McCaffrey's healthy, might make a push. Yeah. But it's not groundbreaking by any means. All right. On Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 2016 Throwback Thursday. Is this a Coldplay?
Yes.
Is it? Like, they had a resurgence in 2016. I don't know their arc.
I don't either.
I thought they were a really early 2000s thing, and then kind of. Is that the band with Gwyneth Paltrow's husband?
Well,
ex-husband. I'm sorry. I don't know if they're still married.
Yeah, I think the lead singer.
Was it Chris Apple?
No, Apple was her kid.
Oh, it was Chris Apple.
But it was Chris something.
Chris something, okay. See, I know nothing about this group.
Yeah, then all I know is she came out with a vagina candle.
That's right. She did do that.
Was it Gloop?
They had
is that the company named Gloop?
Gloop. They had that song Clocks that had a really good intro. And that's what I remember. I wasn't a big fan of Coldplay, but I know enough of them. I know the voice, so that's why I said it. Kevin Durant going to Golden State on this day. I thought Josh was really good talking about the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah,
good stuff.
And I mean, he's absolutely right. We touched on it just towards the end that, yeah, listen, you know, they got a new quarterback. Doesn't change really anything.
Really doesn't, exactly. Again,
except
it's
that
not.
And I hear this a lot, and he really stressed it. There's a lot of draft picks gone.
They dumped a lot for this. And again, it's Matt Rhule, unfortunately, but this is just the way it is in the NFL. you got to win with what the team gives you, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. You, if you can't keep going to the team going, well, I need a better this, I need a better that. They're like, no, we give you the team. You got to win. And he's got to win this year. But the reality of it is, like he said, they went out and got Teddy Bridgewater. They got rid of Cam Newton. They get Teddy Bridgewater, and Teddy Bridgewater didn't disappoint. He played exactly the way Teddy Bridgewater plays. And they were like, yeah, that's not going to be good enough. Well, what did you think was going to happen? He was going to emerge as a megastar? Like, he's an average quarterback. And then they trade the three picks for Darnold. And I like the way he said, somebody's getting fired for that. We got to wait and see on that one. Because Darnold was terrible last year. Started throwing, and they fell apart.
I don't think they gave up really anything for Baker.
They didn't give up anything for Baker.
I mean, so.
And it's funny because I've been going on this morning saying a fourth and a fifth in 2024, that's nothing. He's like, they probably could have got Baker for a seventh from Cleveland.
I mean, has Baker fallen that much?
That's what I'm wondering. That's been the question this morning, right? Who's our guy in Cleveland? I forgot his name. I'm so sorry.
Andy Baskin.
Andy Baskin. How many times have we had Andy on where he is like, I know people think Baker Mayfield is terrible, but like he's kind of like reminding us that this guy played the quarterback position at the National Football League level pretty well.
He did.
Like he's trying to remind you, like he had a shoulder injury, guys. He played hurt. He told the team he was hurt, and they kept sending him out there, and he played hurt. Okay. Look, no one's arguing that he's Joe Burrow, okay? Nobody's saying that. But you do have to – any opinion of Baker Mayfield that's coming off last season has to come with the idea that he was hurt. Okay, that being said, it's amazing to me that Baker has fallen that much as the number one overall pick. Like, he's not Jamarcus Russell, for crying out loud, right?
But like, we're putting it – like it's like it feels like he's in that category.
Like, nobody wanted him. Nobody made a move to get him. Listen.
It's tainted goods.
Remember when there was a little bit of a quarterback shuffle, right? Little bit of a quarterback shuffle. Washington was looking for one. They get Carson Wentz. Then Indianapolis was looking for one. They got Matt Ryan. Then Atlanta was looking for one. Marcus Mariota is going to be their starter when they rebuild. Seattle needs one. They didn't even come to the table with anything. Baker Mayfield couldn't land any spot on any team that was looking for a quarterback. None. And it's, you know, again, because the team saw last year, he fell in certain skill areas. Lost an ability in the pocket, doesn't run the ball as well as he used to, like in terms of getting out of the pocket and picking up some yards, doesn't move as well as he used to. Fine. But I think Carolina, if you're going to get Baker Mayfield and you're going to see if it works, this is probably the best situation for him. Come compete against a really crappy quarterback. But by the way, we don't like, and come get this job. Like he's talking, like I love the way Josh was like, yeah, he'll compete for the starting job, but he's getting the job.
Right.
Like there's no competition. There's technically a competition, but there's not a competition. They don't like Sam Darnold, right? They don't like him. So they got him cheap. He's walking into a good situation. And so now here's the thing. They just re-signed Moore. They got Matt McCaffrey. Like you said, the offensive line is getting retooled, should be better. They went offensive line with the number one, with their first round draft pick. I think sixth overall. So they've got an offensive line. They moved some players into the interior. This is set up nicely for Baker Mayfield, right? Nicely. Weapons need to stay healthy. He's healthy. The offensive line should be pretty good. Now go out there and do it. Go out there and
Robbie win some Anderson games. Needs to take him out to dinner.
Right. Robbie Anderson. Right? Exactly. I forgot about that. Good point.
Show him around town. Let me take you on a driving tour of Charlotte.
Yeah, let's go around Charlotte a little bit. Good point. Forgot about Robbie Anderson. That's a good point. Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue.
I messed up tonight.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, some of these songs that you play, I go, that's 2016 or whenever we do them in Throwback Thursday. And I'm always like, wow, I feel like that song's been around forever. Wasn't this in Zootopia?
Yes, it was.
I thought so. See, look, you can't throw.
And you know what? Honestly, not a bad Disney movie.
No, that was actually pretty good.
Kind of fun.
You know why I liked it? Jason Bateman.
Yes.
Jason Bateman was in that. Played the voice of the fox. By the way, if you want to watch, again, I don't know how many of you got like Disney Plus or anything, but there is a scene in Zootopia where Jason Bateman, who plays the fox, gives a speech to the bunny about dreams and following your dreams,
yep,
and they don't work out. And then, and it's absolutely brilliant. It's well written, because it's very, you kind of watch it and you go, oh yeah, that's right on the money, right? Like you kind
of, you know, real life.
You're right. That's real life. You kind of go out. You kind of, I'm going to tackle the world. I'm going to change the world. We do this with graduations all the time, right? We tell everybody, you're going to change the world. When in reality, like, a lot of you are going to work in a cubicle and you'll be completely anonymous to society.
That's just the way it miserable. Goes.
And miserable. You're gonna give up your dreams for a steady paycheck and health insurance, and then that's it. And so if you had an idea that one day you're going to open a restaurant, or you're going to explore, you're going to travel, or nope, you're going to get out of college, you're going to grab the first job you see, and then that's it. Done. And that's kind of the way he does that little speech, and it kind of hits hard sometimes. You go, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Wow. So there you go. But yep. Yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Well, she had dreams of being the next bunny police officer, yeah, and was just nothing but a lowly, yep, meter maid.
She was a meter maid. Exactly. Let me get this straight. Coming to the big city, you're good. Yeah, that's how it goes. So anyway, little tangent off the music from Zootopia.
But we can go on a Jason Bateman tangent all the time, too.
Hey, listen, who doesn't love Jason Bateman? My God.
Man. And if you are, you're a communist, so you are, we, yes, don't even want you listening to
don't
us.
Don't like Jason Bateman, you don't love America. That's just, let me just put it to you that way. So, back to football. What does Seattle do? Is that okay with Seahawk fans?
Yeah, they bring Jason Bateman.
Yeah, okay, they better. They better. Listen, I don't think if, look, I remember when the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl, and then the writing was on the wall for Drew Bledsoe, right? That was it. Like, Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl. He's the guy. No more Bledsoe. The era is over. And he went to Buffalo. And I remember Buffalo threw him a parade, like, and gave him the key to the city. Like, Buffalo made a big deal that Drew Bledsoe was going to be their quarterback. I mean, they really embraced him. That wasn't going to happen to Baker Mayfield if he was going to Seattle. I don't think Seahawk fans would have been like, oh, my prayers have been answered. We replaced Russell Wilson with Baker Mayfield, and it's going to be like we never missed a beat. No, I think they would have said, okay, good. At least we don't have Geno Smith or Drew Locke. We do have a legitimate starting quarterback. Let's see if we can do something here. But I don't think they would have jumped up and down. But now, unless something else happens, they've got Geno Smith and Drew Locke. That's what they're going with. And I'm not going to be high on Seattle unless this is their plan this whole time. Look, Jimmy Garoppolo is still out there as possible trade bait, but as we know, he's going nowhere near Seattle. I don't think John Lynch sends him up to a team in the division. All right, so he's going to be looking elsewhere. I mean, maybe. I'll never say never with these guys. Sometimes you have to get rid of a guy, and that's maybe the only offer. But I don't even think they have to do that. So Seattle is very likely. Again, we're not going to do the wake-up call curse here, because tomorrow I'll wake up and it'll be like, oh my God, Seattle just landed, you know, and I'll be like, what a surprise.
I'm scouring the Twitter feeds, yeah, right now.
I know, right? Exactly. Like, who's floating out there?
We should just put it out there now.
We might as well.
I mean, I know it's not going to happen, because you never want to trade a good quarterback in division.
Right.
But if Jimmy G does go to Seattle, does Seattle instantly become a playoff team?
You know what? That's interesting, because we've debated the validity of Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, here's a guy who, like, threw 8 passes in a playoff game once, and they won. And you're like, is that what they do? Is that, yeah, what he does? He just hands the ball off to running backs who pick up big yardage? Is that all he is? but he does throw some good passes. Not that Super Bowl where he had the guy wide open and you missed him, but he threw some clutch passes in that game against the Cowboys in that playoff game. Oh, not the interception that was down the sideline. You see where I'm going with this? For everything you get that's solid of Jimmy Garoppolo, you get something that reminds you that he's like can bring it crashing back down to earth.
Yeah, it's like his dating life.
No doubt.
For every model or, you know, girl next door he's dated, we'll never forget the porn star.
We'll never forget the porn star, right. Exactly. That's Jimmy Garoppolo. For everything that you remember of him, like, throwing it through the needle, for everything you go, man, that guy, wow, I think he's underrated. Woo, that was a... Then he throws something where you go, there was nobody near that pass. Why was he throwing... What was he seeing? That's Jimmy Garoppolo. But you can't... you're right. I would have to say there is so much to like about San Francisco outside of Garoppolo that makes me think like he would have his work cut out for him in you know, taking a Seattle team to the postseason.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot to like about the 49ers. They play great defense. They got George Kittle. Debo Samuel is a beast. He's fantastic.
It's just, for me, I look at the NFC as a whole and saying, God, you know, this reminds me of like the tides have turned a little bit. Reminds me of the NFC back when, you know, we were younger.
Right,
in the 90s,
yeah.
Where there's just kind of the switch. All the really good teams are in the AFC, and I feel like the AFC might be poised to go on this run of Super Bowls.
Yeah, I agree.
Whether they win them or not, I don't know. They can't seem to do that. You know, I don't know if they're sending the wrong team or the Bengals or the NFC just has a good enough team to win the Super Bowl every single year.
Yeah, and that's kind of where... it's kind of the way I'm thinking. You know, I don't know. Like, what would it take in the AFC? Like, the AFC, you better be careful in the AFC because I think the playoff race in the AFC should be blast. I mean, it should be a blast. We're going to get to like week 14 and we've got still three games to go. And
it's
we're going to be like,
yeah, it's
going to
be nuts.
It is going to be, look at what's going on. Teams that are like, they're like, oh my God, I got to win out. I got to win 12 games, 11 games, whatever it is, to just be in the running or in the consideration. I don't know if it's that high because there's always a team that's like gets in with like 10 wins, especially three team. But in the NFC, like we were talking with Carolina, I don't think you need to win 11 games to be catching the last spot of the three team wild card. But, you know, what do you do if you're John Lynch and Sam? I mean, do you want to jump into Trey Lance right away, or do you want to give Jimmy Garoppolo one more shot? Because they came pretty close to going to a Super Bowl. Right? They came pretty close. You know, Debo Samuel, as we were just talking about, he's fantastic. And I love him because he's a South Carolina Gamecock. So, man, that's just awesome to see. Nevertheless, he wanted, like, out. And they're like, nope, no, you're not going anywhere. What are you, crazy? I'm not going to send you away. I remember when that story broke that Debo Samuel was unhappy in San Francisco and he wanted a trade. And immediately I saw articles that said the best five landing spots for Debo Samuel. And I'm like, I'm not even going to read this. Why would I read this? Because the answer is San Francisco, San Francisco, San Francisco. Like, there's no other team he's going to play for.
Or do you want to spell it out? San Francisco. 49ers.
Yeah, that's
there's your
right.
top five teams.
There's your top five teams. Like John Lynch, I mean, you know, again, unless a team is like, here's everything that you want.
Right.
Plus, you know, every draft pick we have, fine. But he was too important to their success. I mean, you could watch that team and say, look, here's a dual threat, can run, catch passes. You got a quarterback that can wow you sometimes and make you frustrated another. But they had a pretty good defense that could get to the quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of things to like about San Francisco. And I wonder, do you jump into Trey Lance and go, hey, Trey Lance, this is your team now? Or is it too much of a gamble right now? Like, we could go, you know, Trey Lance has got a lot of years in this league coming. But right now, we feel there's a window here that we could take advantage of. I don't know. But I do know this. If you're Seattle, you've got Geno Smith and Drew Lock, so enjoy that. At least in Carolina, and I know Baker Mayfield's not a mover. I get it. I know he's not moving the needle. Somebody put it out on Twitter about the very, very slight adjustments that Carolina made in betting predictions of their season, and they didn't really change all that much. Okay, fine. But if you're a team like Seattle, Would you rather go into the season thinking, if I can just get some good play from Baker Mayfield, we might do good things? Or do you want to go in with Geno Smith and Drew Lock, knowing that it's really a lot to ask that those two guys play above their what they've shown you in the past? Because remember, when Russell Wilson was out last year, Geno Smith tried to keep that thing moving, and it didn't go very well. It didn't go very well. I think they could have easily beaten the Steelers, but they could with Geno Smith, they couldn't. So Edmund on Twitter, I loved watching Debo in Columbia. He could take it to the house anytime. I loved watching him in Columbia as well. As somebody who roots on every South Carolina player that's in the NFL, thank God, Debo Samuel. It's great. I was really, really hoping Jadeveon Clowney would be a megastar, because he was – Jadeveon Clowney was one of the most impactful players South Carolina has ever gotten. Him and Marcus Latimer in recent years were two of the most important players Steve Spurrier has ever landed. And we know about Marcus Latimer, stayed in college and suffered two knee injuries and just – that was it. Couldn't really got. I think he was on the 49ers and tried to make it on the 49ers, and just that was it. But Jadeveon Clowney, number one overall pick, never ever became the mega. He never became Aaron Donald, right? If we're using a comparison, he never became Aaron Donald. He never became the Vaughn Miller. Yeah, he was good at times, but he kind of.
I thought sure he went to the perfect team because he was lining up opposite of J.J. Watt. So it's like, absolutely, you can't double team Jadeveon. If you double team Jadeveon, then JJ's free.
Jadeveon Clowney is another example of the words you never want to hear an athlete get: microfracture surgery. Anytime an athlete gets that, they never really are the same again. Look at Greg Odom. Remember him? Microfracture surgery. That's the worst. And you know what's funny about that, Ron? I don't even know what microfracture surgery is compared to regular surgery.
I don't either. I thought surgery.
I'm thinking microfracture is small fracture, but apparently it's a very big deal.
Yeah. But at least, unlike Odin, Clowney actually had a career in the NFL.
He did.
And had some decent time.
He made it. He played Houston. He went to Seattle. He's played at Cleveland. Where else? Tennessee, the Titans. I know when he came to here in Nashville, people were really excited because they didn't have a pass rush. They had zero pass rush, and he's supposed to add a little bit to that. But he's bounced around enough. And you're right. He's had a career. But he's going to have a career like we see some basketball players have, where you expect big things. They're drafted in the top five, but they've been in the league long enough, but they never became a megastar. That's the way Jadeveon Clowney is going to be. He's going to have a career. He's played enough. But he never turned into the game-changing defensive presence, because when he was the number one overall recruit coming out of Rock Hill, and Spurrier landed him, and it was part of that run that they had of 11 wins, where it was great. It was a great time to be a South Carolina Gamecock, and there's not a lot of moments. Being a South Carolina Gamecock is awesome, but there was a period of time where it was. They were beating Florida. They were beating a lot of teams in the SEC. Beat Alabama at home one year with Steven Garcia. I know I'm going into a little Gamecock history. I'm sorry. But Edmund on Twitter got me started. So not to blame you, Edmund, but that's what happens sometimes when I roll along on South Carolina Gamecocks. All right, coming back, we'll wrap up this hour. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour four coming up next. Wrapping up this hour, Throwback Thursday, we have got 2016. Kevin Garnett announcing on the state he's going to play for Golden State, or at least the news was that he was going to be playing for Golden State. This is breaking news, a story we've been following, but Ron and I have admitted, because there's a lot of legalism to this, and especially overseas legalism. I'm not sure how it works in the Soviet Union, but according to Reuters, who is in the room at the Brittany Griner situation in Russia, she pleaded guilty to smuggling drugs. That's a horrible way to put what happened.
She sounds like a kingpin
in
at this
a
point.
Vape pen. I know. They're acting like she's bringing in bricks of cocaine, or putting them in balloons and swallowing them or something like that. Oh my God, she's like
Did you check the China dolls?
Claire Dane in Breakdown Palace. Goodness gracious. This, I hate to admit this, but this has got to be it, right? Like, I don't know how it works there.
Siberia.
I think that if you're in Russia and you admit to smuggling drugs, are you doing it, hopefully, that the judge would go, okay, a year? Like, is she giving up coming home? Or is she saying she's guilty, taking the punishment,
or
and hoping...
Or is that the advice that's given to her
by
her
the advice?
Russian attorney?
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're pulling in American attorneys, right?
No, I don't. Yeah, no.
His name? Busby.
Busby's not flying over there to get her out. Yeah, Alan Dershowitz is not making the flight over.
Johnny Cochran couldn't do it anyway.
So. Yeah, Johnny Cochran couldn't do it, but Johnny Cochran might if he was still alive.
That's right. Awesome.
But I don't know. This doesn't sound very good for Brittany Griner.
Not
but I
at
have
all.
No idea. Like, I don't know if this legal strategy worked. Like, I would think that they told her, look, the evidence is heavy against you. If you plead not guilty and they find you guilty, it's worse than if you say you're guilty and know you're guilty.
Yeah.
They'll sentence you to something lighter and then let your president do his work, right?
Maybe like, she gets get 5 years instead of the full 30.
Right. But anyway, that's breaking news. She's pleaded guilty to smuggling drugs. Wow, what a term.